Welcome to the Bates Motel After Show and After Buzz. Unfaithful, Season 4. Norman's back home. The Bates Mansion or the Bates Residence is freezing. And Norman wants to ask you a question, Flippo. Let's go.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh.
I don't know who we are, but I think that you do.
Think that you do, Flippo.
Mm-mm.
Dadgummit. I'm sorry, I'm saying, who is he and what is he to you?
That's why it's Jermaine. Right there, that's why it's Jermaine to the point.
Okay. Yeah. That's the great Bill Withers.
That's the great Bill Withers.
You might know him for a little song called Lovely Day. You know that song, right? When I look at you. You might also know him from Lean on Me. You know that one?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Anyway, I got nothing. This is Bill Withers. Who is he? What is he? One of the great cheating songs of all time. This is in honor of Unfaithful, the Beth Bates Motel episode that we are reviewing here. Sorry.
Wait.
Nothing. It's fine. I'm Joe Braswell. Welcome to the Baseball Tell After Buzz After Show. I'm joined, as always, by the lovely Julie Carely.
Hello, everybody. Hi, boys.
And also by my man, Joe Flippo.
Nice to be here with you guys.
We're not joined by the lovely Dua Casey.
No.
She's out today. But
I miss her already. It was Girls Club last week.
Girls Club last week. Now you're
was
back.
It good?
With us.
We had so much fun,
dude. Like having no Dua here. It's like the brain trust. We only got like half of it right here.
Right,
and then
exactly.
You and I are just a couple of yahoos.
Couple of yahoos, man.
Couple of yahoos.
Just doing nothing, listening to some Bill Withers. So we're back. Unfaithful.
Yeah, man.
This episode, it happened. It was very, very good. A lot of things happened. We're getting, man, I can't believe Norman's out. Like, Norman's out.
He should not be out.
Norman out. Like,
not even a little bit.
Yeah, this is like, reminds me of Empire. Like, Cookie's out. But it's a different show. But Norman's out.
Is that a different show? Are you sure?
Yeah, Cookie.
Thank you.
There's no Cookie in Baseball Time?
I just think it's great that we talk about other shows before we even start this one.
Was it Norman's $100,000 for the drug money that started this bitch? That's my Cookie imitation. you know, Julie's a big fan of Empire. She knows every line.
What
anyway,
the hell are you talking about?
Base Motel is our show, and we're watching it. And this is an episode written by
Mr. Freddie Highmore.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
Norman himself.
Yeah. Well written by Mr. Freddie Highmore.
Very well written.
And we, in the last episode, which was last week, was directed by Nestor. Which Julie's. Did you guys talk about that? You did.
Probably.
Did. All right. So. Norma's back. We, you know, this is one of those things of Norma desperately trying to, you know, keep things normal, but at the same time trying to, I mean, this is a lot of struggles here. We have Norma, her dilemma is to sort of like, you know, retain her happiness and what she's been going through, at the same time service Norman, at the same time sort of like try to find the balance between how to not have Norman freak out and be happy, but also retain her happiness. It's always a struggle between Norma's happiness and Norman's happiness. I think that's what the struggle is. I think that Romero is also in this place of like, is this a best place for me personally? But I'm in love, so do I take all this baggage what Norma's got, including her crazy son, or do I do my own thing? You know, I got my own problems. These look like he's choosing another thing. Dylan has a choice to make as well. Dylan is do I choose my family, who I love, even though they're crazy, or do I go with this woman I love, who's not crazy? That's an easy choice.
Well, Dylan's out. This is done.
he's made his choice.
Is that? Yeah. Nice
Dylan
to see you guys.
Dylan full on said he was out.
Yeah.
He said, I'm done.
And last but not least, he made the choice last week, but and Dr. Edwards has a choice to make. Do I
Dr.
do
Edwards
what's missed best him this episode.
And keep Norman, or do I use this outpatient do the work I can as an outpatient? I think he knows the answer to that, but he went against his gut.
He did,
and let him loose.
Boy, people are gonna suffer for that.
What did you think of this episode, Julia?
I loved this episode. I loved that it was such a slow and awkward, uncomfortable burn.
Yeah,
the whole thing just felt so unsettling. Oof. Until finally everything exploded, which, you know, had a sense of relief to get everything out in the open. I think it was so apropos that it was written by Freddie Highmore.
Yep.
Because this is a very intense episode for Norman, who's just slowly breaking down and refusing how everything has changed around him in his absence and how he's going to deal with that. I just thought it was a really, really cool, cool episode.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Joe, flip off.
Well, you know that I love me some Vera Farmiga because I think that she's good at the acting.
She's not bad.
She's really, I think she's
not shabby.
She's gifted at the acting stuff. It seemed to me, I love the episode. I love everything they do. That, to me, this show never takes a wrong step. So, but to me, this whole episode's all about just watching Norma try and constantly pull everyone together. Like, can I keep, you know, just pleading and kissing and stroking and feeding and please stay here, stay here. Everybody's going to get along. I'm going to force it. I'm going to force it. And I just watch her, all for naught, too. I mean, there's nothing she can do that's going to fix Norman. So I just, it's like that. And we all know the outcome because, you know, we all know where this goes. So it's that Sisyphean struggle. She keeps rolling.
Who, what, Ian?
The Sisyphean.
Okay.
Rolling that rock up the hill over and over again.
Sisyphus.
Yes.
Sisyphean.
Sisyphean.
Sisyphean. That's fun.
Like, say it six times fast. Not three. Six. I said six. Sisyphean. Sisyphean. So she's rolling the rock uphill over and over again, and there's no way. She's going to get crushed eventually. There's no chance, and there's no way she's getting out of this.
It was kind of cool to see her, how she tries so hard to cater to everyone's needs to create this perfect-looking life, but then for her to finally stand up for herself. Which, of course, just blew everything out of the water when she finally did.
Yeah, it was a long time coming. Hard to get there for Norma. Yeah. She's really struggling. She's had her tantrums. She, you know, melted down on Dylan. Uh-huh. Kind of tried to melt down a little bit on Romero. Definitely melted down on Norman.
Definitely melted down. That's one of each meltdown I love more and more and more. Oh, each meltdown, man. I say that's my favorite because she doesn't. But there's like this childlike manner to it. The way that she like throws it back.
Well, especially that she always has that last word, which is something like I know, you know, or something kind of like
it's
some kind
of. So good. It's so earned. We talk about this over and over again. It's earned. The writers earn it for them, and she earns it. And so when she does it, it's always hitting with the middle of the bat. And so when she flips out, it's completely natural. You're like, of course she's flipping out. How could she not?
But not only that, we know Norma. So like whenever something's developing, we're already kind of like, uh-oh, Norma's not going to handle this well. Or Mm-mm. Norma, and same thing with Norman. Like when something's developing, we're like, uh-oh, Norma's not going to like that. How's Norman going to like, you know? And so the way Freddie even plays these moments where you know that he's completely uncomfortable with something when it's almost like he has this very, like, it kind of reminds me of your people, Joe. Reminds me of The Godfather. Reminds me of, like, sort of the Sicilian kind of, like...
Racist!
No, it's just the way, like, he receives news and answers a question, like, oh, and her husband. He's like, her husband, huh? It's like the way... Like, is there something missing about the way he repeats the thing? Like, oh... Okay, I see. You know, it's so like
seeing a slow gangster boil.
And even that, like that face off with Romero, that face off when he's like, you know, what was the line? Something like, you can start the divorce as to not.
So we don't expose the fraud.
So I don't expose the fraud. The calmness and coolness he said it was ice cold, man. Man, he might be part Sicilian.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
If he starts kissing people, you know they're gone. That's the drill.
Very Vito Corleone. You had some. Do you remember any of those Norma meltdown lines? Did you write any of those down?
Of course. Okay, give me. Of course, some. I did.
Oh,
it's great.
I just did it. Switch his head.
It's so easy to do.
So good.
Anyone can do that. So let's get into this a little more, but I want to first say hello to everyone out there on watching us right now on YouTube, watching us on the live stream. Hello, all of us out there. Of course, John Doe, Marcelli, Chloe, Feckless, Sylvia Love, and Mark K, and, you know, Mary Kay Pearl, and Maria, and Echo Knives. Okay. sorry. All you guys, thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate you. If I missed anyone, I'm sorry. And all you guys who are listening to us on iTunes, we appreciate you listening to us there and rating us and helping people find us by, giving us some stars and a review and whatever you want to do there.
We like fives.
But fives are good. That's been happening, and we appreciate that. And also all your comments on the YouTube as well. We open this episode with Norman and Norma back in the house. Mm-hmm. The house is freezing. Now, is there something metaphorically going on with that?
Absolutely.
Okay,
help me out. Of course. I mean, just the sheer awkwardness and the coldness between the two because everything has changed. Sure. And she doesn't know how to handle Norman. Norman doesn't know how to handle the change. He's not exactly sure what's going on, and no one is being forthcoming about everything. So, of course, it's metaphorical. Once they get the heat back on, that's when the huge explosion happens.
Oh, look at you. Sorry, don't yell at me.
Ladies and gentlemen, of course it's metaphorical.
A-hole. Freddie Highmore knew what he was doing.
Yes, he did.
No, yeah, I believe that. And it's also that it could be viewed as Norman returns to the house, and then the sort of coldness,
the chill
returns to the house because it was such a warm place.
You absolutely.
Know, with Romero, she's making curtains, and she's making food, and they're dancing around, they're having a bunch of sex. It's all great. And Norman comes in, and things shuts right back down. It's freezing in there. So I, you know, I of course saw that coming, that exchange of, you know, Norman was freezing, and he's in there with his little hat. I thought for sure he's like, well, you know, I gotta jump in bed with my mom and cuddle and spoon and get warm.
Although there was no spooning.
Thank God.
No, I've had it with this. It was all bad.
Yeah, it was all bad. So
a couple awkward kids just laying there staring at the
ceiling.
Even
Norma sort of was like, ugh.
Yeah.
Because she knows that he's attracted to her. She's, you know, she's already like said like it's normal. And I mean, that thing last time. And she's also used that a couple of times to calm him down by sort of like, you know, sort of flirting with him or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's, I mean, I don't know. That part of it is a very complex part of that mother-son relationship. I love you well enough to know that you're a bit attracted to me, so to calm you down, I'm going to flirt with you a little bit, or hug you, or let you spoon with me, just to calm you down. I mean, that's not, you know.
Nothing good can come of this.
She's just being a good mom.
But she never really saw too much of an issue with it before, but now that she's in love and like a real person relationship.
Right.
With a grown up.
With a grown man who loves her,
right.
Who can fulfill her in different ways. Now it's like the first time it feels like that she's really understanding what the extent of their relationship is and how it's affected him.
Now, is that how you're reading it? You're reading it that, you know, this whole time because Norma's stuck in this zone, like Freddie Highmore brilliantly wrote in that one monologue when he's like at the end, but like stuck in this world where it's just me and you and everyone else, including all these men out there, suck, and it's just me and you. And you know, it was a necessity for Norma to keep Freddie close because she hates all men and pushing all men away. But now that she has the other man in, is she able to see like, oh, this is not normal? And is that what you're saying?
Well, the house is a metaphor, right? We've established that. They've established that for four seasons. The house, the car, the outfits, the breakfast, what everybody wears, the fact that there's never been a TV in the house. They've created, when he says this little world, it's a little world, right? It's outside of everything normal. She's wearing clothes from the 60s. She's driving a car from the 70s. The house is an old Victorian up on the hill. He doesn't dress like any of the other kids. He doesn't live any modern lifestyle. So they've created this little world, and now it's literally been physically pierced by Romero, and he brought in a freaking 60-inch plasma or LCD. It doesn't matter. Anyway, he's got the 60-inch TV in there, and so I mean, there's these not only has it been pierced, he's lodged. So this thing is in their world. It's completely destroying it. And Norman's wackadoo, and so he comes back to this world, this bubble that his mom and he created, and it's not there anymore. It's getting tainted and mucked up.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything more just completely out of place in any
TV?
In the world,
that television.
Isn't that amazing?
In that entire house, let alone the living room.
And watching a football game in Norma's living room, I was like, that's
just... I was like, yeah.
Right?
What do you think? Bada boom.
Come on, the Jets are playing.
The what? That was a definitely clash of worlds there. So, so we have that change, and Norma is saying, sure enough, she has to... she's promising Romero, who is reluctantly agreed to do it Norma's way, which is a little surprising, but he's agreed to do it Norma's way, and she's going to tell him when he thinks it's appropriate, right?
Yes.
Meanwhile, our boy Dylan is still hot on the case. He's trying to figure this whole thing out, what's going on with... was that this episode?
That was last
episode. Okay,
when he carried over though. Carried over now because he saw the doll. And
I may or may not have watched both these episodes back to back.
I may or may not have watched them back to back too.
Sorry, but
I did not.
Okay, so Dylan is simply still coming in and convinced that Norman has done something, and is Dylan just trying to like I don't want to know about it.
Dylan was hot on the case in the last episode, but Emma also had that conversation with him. Like, she's done this before.
Right.
You know, she probably came back for money. She's gone off the grid before. Like, she's disappeared on us before. So maybe he's taking that as some, like,
it's
false
best to just let it.
Reassurement and just like, okay, let's just let her believe that and I'll believe it with her. And I'm sure it's going to resurface.
Sure.
But it didn't in this episode.
Okay.
Not to me. For me.
So Romero, like, Joe, what's Romero thinking in this whole time? What did take me inside? You know, you're a man. Take me inside. because I mean, he's in love with Norman.
No, I think he's right. I think I'm absolutely. But I'm covered, like, in fur. He's right.
What's his approach? Like, you know, he seems to be like, okay, Norma, like, I do your thing. But he knows what he knows about Norman, and he knows about Norma. Like, I don't know. What's...
What I like about... Well, so many things I like about Romero's character. But he's a genuine grown-up. And genuine grown men, you know this because you're one also.
No.
We take up space. We have things that we want. We want things our way. We want to do certain things the way we like to do them.
Right.
And, you know, this is not a 22-year-old kid who's just trying to figure it all out. And this is a grown-up, a for real grown-up. And so when he comes into a situation, he's going to handle the situation. And, you know, like the heater, if you weren't sure if Romero was in the house or not, the first scene when she was trying to figure out the heater, that would have been clear. You know what I'm saying? I don't know about the rest. I'm like, well, where the hell is that? Just ask Nestor to fix it.
Right.
You know? So, this is a grown-up man doing grown-up man stuff. And he has obviously put himself in a situation he has some reservations about. But he's, I think, willfully, we talked about this a few episodes ago, I think this is the tragic Achilles heel of the character. He's willfully made this choice that I think he knows somewhere deep inside is going to be his undoing.
Yeah.
But he loves it. He loves her. She is going to be his undoing. There's no question. And even if it's a matter of the DEA is going to figure this stuff out with Rebecca because he was distracted, or because instead of taking care of business with Rebecca, he got married to Norma. One way or the other, she's going to be his undoing, or Norman's going to kill him with an axe. You know
what's unfortunate is what's really sad is you're starting to be able to see the beginnings
of the end,
of Romero, or the undoing of Romero. Like you're sitting, his mistakes
laying,
like,
the groundwork.
Yeah, with the DEA, yep. Or whether his mistakes with Norman, his mistakes with Norma. Like, I mean, and God damn it, he deserves to be happy, but he's been through so much shit, and he just wants to be happy.
He's been walking that tightrope for so long.
They both maybe deserve to be happy, but I don't think it's gonna work out.
It's not gonna happen. So, it can. We know where it lands.
You know, I don't know. I mean, maybe I don't know. Maybe Romero gets out of there. I don't know.
One way or the other, Norma is up there in that window rocking away. That's eventually where this all goes.
God dang it. Anyway, all right. So let's talk about Norma has a conversation with Norman to say that look, she tries to break it to him a little bit but doesn't, just sort of fails, and Norman clearly knows what's going on. He's trying to pull it out of her. And she's like, well, he helped us out. You should go thank him. Mm-hmm. You should really thank him. And so Norman decides to go do that, but it doesn't really work out that way. Mm-hmm. Like, he really goes to, what do you think Norman's intention was? To politely say, get out of here, or to threaten him specifically? Or what was...
I think all those things, yes. To let him know that he knew, let Romero know. Norman had to let Romero know that, like, I'm on to you.
Right.
Now you can go. Thank you for what you did. Sure, you helped my mom out in a difficult time. But does he really think that Romero manipulated her?
Yeah, I think he does.
Okay.
Well, this is where I get lost about, Norman as a sociopath versus Norman as a homicidal psychopath. In other words, Norman, like he said in the loony bin to Julian, what's his name?
Julian.
Yeah. Like I know how to make people think that
I'm a
normal
you
kid.
Don't. That's why you're going to die here.
Yeah. And that's what they say about most sociopaths and psychopaths, is they have the ability, like Dexter was like this. Like, I don't understand any of these emotions, but I know how to act like I have them. I don't understand happiness, but I know how to act happy. And Norman does that too, which is the sociopathic side. What I'm wondering about Norman is, like, how much of Norman is the side that may kill someone or do something, or does that only happen when he's Norma? In other words, like, he genuinely feels like he was in there to protect his mother and threaten Nestor and go in there and almost like stay away or else. Mm-hmm. Is Norman capable of killing people, or is it only Norma?
Well, I think that they're meshing now. I think they're coming together now. That's what's happening.
Because Norman's looking awful freaking... Norman's looking kind of scary these days.
Well, here's my thought about
it. Self-realization. He's a little menacing.
He's coming in there, and what his point of view seems to be is, I'm the man with Norma, not you.
Right.
I'm the man. And so now it's not just stay away from my mom. It's don't fuss with my girlfriend. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's right. All there. So, I mean, that was the confrontation. It wasn't just I'm not happy with you dating my mom, any of that stuff.
Sure.
It was, I'm the man, and I'm the man. I'll get my own insurance. I'll pay for my own stuff. You need to get out of my house. This is my basement, my mom, my life.
The or else part. What's the or else for Norman?
That's the next step. The or else is, that's the second part of I'm the man.
Right.
That's, well, I'll do something about it.
But absolutely. What is that something? Like, you or me is not going to kill anybody.
No, he's going to expose the fraud. He said, I'll expose your fraud.
I think he will be able to murder on his own. Before, he only turned into Norma in a hyper-sexualized situation.
Right.
And that's when he turned into Norma. But while he was at Pinecrest, whatever, he was slowly being able to control it a little bit, so now that there's this whole new emotion, this being extremely threatened, his manhood being threatened by another man, not by a woman,
right.
Now I think he's able to maybe not become the Normicide. Maybe he murders as Norman this time.
Huh. I wonder if has he ever done that as Norman?
Not yet, but he's made some great strides.
Does the character Norman, you know, folks, maybe help us out. Does the character Norman Bates actually kill as Norman Bates, or does he kill as Norman? I think the character Norman Bates only kills his mother, and Norman's whole service is to cover up for his mom. Even in Psycho, it's like he knows, oh, my mom's a crazy killer. She's done it again. I gotta go dump the thing in the swamp. I don't know that Norman's ever the killer, and I'm asking that because I'm beginning to be afraid of Norman. That bit in the Shady Acres where he's like, I know how to blah blah blah, and the way he's being with Romero, the way he's being with Norma, like, I'm afraid of this guy. But I'm like, should I be afraid of him as Norman, or do I have to wait for him to turn into Norma?
I don't think he has to turn into Norma anymore. I think he's on the path to not having to turn into Norma anymore to cause harm.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he pulled the axe out, so
he did. I like what you said about when it's with men, because when it's with women, maybe he kills as Norma with women, but with men, maybe it's Norman. Mm-hmm. Maybe, that's an interesting idea because there was a moment there. I really thought he was going to take a swing at Romero with that axe.
Yeah,
and Romero did too.
Yeah,
you know, all he wants is to be. All he wants is to be all those things that in that last confrontation Romero mentioned, you know, a partner, a friend, a man in her life.
Yeah.
And up until this point, he has been the man in her life, but there are ways that he's learning he cannot fulfill his mother, and she doesn't see him that way anymore like he hoped maybe she would.
Yeah.
Now that he's seen her physically be with another man through that
we'll talk about that. The origins of the peephole. We finally see the origin of where the peephole, we saw it actually being, you know, drilled. Yeah, wasn't the only thing being drilled.
Do we both give an AO? We did.
We did.
We got two Ed McMahons over here.
We did.
Come on, Johnny, finish the show.
Anyway, so backing up, I'm you're dating yourself.
I am. I think AO is that's
it is. AO's something. Johnny and never mind.
Isn't AO? That's Ed McMahon.
It's Ed McMahon. Yeah. I'm just saying that.
I don't know. You guys are way older than I am.
Whoa, slow down. I don't think that's true.
So he has that conversation with Romero in that moment, and I like this the couple things that's been happening in the two confrontations with Romero and Norman. In that moment, Norman's kind of leaning in and kind of insinuating that I'm going to, you know, he actually drops the fraud thing. He kind of keeps insinuating, and Romero's like, careful, like watch it. Don't, you know, go too far. It's almost like, you don't know who you're messing with, kid. Like, I'm a bad guy.
I shoot you.
I shoot, you know, cops in the face.
Yeah.
I shoot, you know, drug dealers. I'm a bad guy. And Norma's kind of like, no one, you don't know who you're messing with.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a killer. So it's a really interesting dynamic there. And you see it again at the end where Norman grabs the axe and Romero's like, what's happening here? And that's something to watch for, this whole, like, you know, because the real badass Romero, I don't think that Norman's seen that. And of course, a completely psychopath Norman Romero hasn't seen that. But these are two formidable guys.
But you know what was interesting is to watch that frustration build that last scene there. I don't know if we're jumping around, but it doesn't matter. So we're jumping that last scene when he's got that axe and he's swinging and he's not. I like that they didn't have him splitting wood cleanly. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
He wasn't splitting wood like he was a lumberjack. You know, swing the axe, whang, one shot, one kill each time. No. He was having to cut. Damn it! And if you ever split wood, that happens. If you get something knotty, and you didn't swing hard enough,
right.
You have to knock it off the axe, and it's a pain in the ass, and you look like a fool, and you feel like a fool.
Yeah.
And so he's getting all that frustration out. He's feeling stupid because he's not able to split it like he wants to. Then he turns around and he's trying to scare this guy with the axe. And then he gets the vibe very clearly. He understands that even if he takes a swing at this guy with the axe, he's going to beat the shit out of him. He's not going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And so then that rage turns into more rage, more frustration, because not only is he not winning, he's not getting what he wants, then he's been physically overwhelmed without even a fight happening.
Yeah.
And so then there's shame and rage and all layered in there.
Well written, well acted.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You know. So let's have another question. So going back to after he is that first face off and he gives that not so mild threat to Romero, and Romero has confronts Norma about it, and sort of says, you gotta tell him. And basically it's like, you have to make your choice, it's him or me. And she doesn't really initially take to it so well. This is the Norma we see when she's sort of backed into the corner.
Well, he didn't understand that she even had to make a choice. Like, he didn't get that. He's like, seriously, this is a choice?
Yeah, like,
all right, you gotta figure that out.
Right. Yeah, well, and it's on his end. Think of all he's given up to make this happen. He's committed,
right?
You know, he's committed fraud, and he's committed himself personally. He's given up the girls on the side. Who knows how many there were? We know about Rebecca.
Yeah,
doesn't seem like she was the only one in the rotation.
Not
even a little bit. And so he's given all that up, and you know, he's put himself out there because now Rebecca, you know, is cut loose, right? So, you know, he's put everything on the line, and to hear her
gave her the bag of money.
Gave her from a bag of money.
Yeah.
But it's not only that. It's not like it's an obvious choice. I think that he didn't understand the extent of Norman's psychosis, that he didn't understand that they couldn't really come together as a family.
Right.
He didn't understand what was really happening and who Norman is. Until the dinner. I think he thought, oh, you know, I'll come over. I'll be a father figure. It'll be fine. Right. I'm not trying to replace it. He didn't know what was going on.
Oh, you're crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. It really is a choice. Okay, you can't make a choice. Take him.
And the takes that, you know, the way Nestor played that dinner, so the looks are kind of like, what the?
Are you that fucking nice? Pass the peas. You are that fucking
nice. Yeah, it's funny. But also with that, we see this before with Norma, like when she feels like she's sort of backed into this corner. We saw it with the whole chick situation.
Mm-hmm.
Chick's still out there, by the way. And like this whole chick situation when it was like, you know, God, I can't shoot you. I can't do this. You guys are doing this to me. Always.
And I just wanted my freaking window fixed.
Yes. It was that same moment. Like, you know, Norman's making me do this and you're making me do that. Like that. But she eventually finds it and kind of does the right thing, I think, right? But that was that whole sequence was interesting. But a question I have for you guys: so when Norman, when the dinner's had, and he goes to, and he knows about Dylan, and he knows about Dylan and Emma. And they all come down, and Norman's like, we're all going to be a family. We're going to do the thing. We're going to do a tree thing. Is Norman genuinely happy about that? Is he genuinely like, okay, wow, Emma, yeah, I'm really, because Emma's nervous, and Emma, she's like, no, I'm so happy for you guys. All that, he said all the sweet things, and the same things to Dylan, and then out when they're out, and Norma's kind of being weird, and he's like, don't worry, guys, she's crazy. Let's have a good time. Is that genuine, or is he in his sociopath mode, pretending like he's happy?
I think it was genuine, and I think that was his moment where he thought, if he can just bring the family together, then maybe everything will go back to the way that it was. Nothing will have changed.
Okay.
Because everything has changed. And that's why I think this is entitled Unfaithful. He feels like everyone's changed around him, and everyone has cheated on him in a way.
Oh.
So maybe if he can just bring them all together, all the people that he loves, Norma, Dylan, Emma, keep her as a friend the way they used to be when things were still good between them, because he never really wanted to be in a relationship with her. That was just to get back at Norma, or to make her, you know, jealous. Yeah. So I think that was his idea. You know, we'll go Christmas tree shopping. It'll be fun. We'll be a family. Yeah. But now Norma's pissed.
Chef Julia's return. Serving hot takes. Hot takes for everyone. I gotta bring an extra fork.
What's that, right? That's a bowl of hot takes.
All these hot takes.
I'll have two hot takes, please.
Man, that's so true. I love that. Yeah, I'm faithful. Wow, that's all good. Okay, so yeah, and then so with his plea to Norma, like let's talk this out. When Norma came back and she's acting whatever, he's like, Mom, you're ruining everything, Mother.
Mm-hmm.
Mom, he never calls her Mom. Mother, you're sort of ruining everything. And that confrontation that they had in the Christmas tree thing to get her to finally spill the beans about what's going on.
But he knew, right? Don't you think?
Yeah, he knew, but he was still... That's the thing. Do you really think he thought that Romero was manipulating her?
No, I think that...
It
read very much like a wronged husband trying to play out the episode where you know, trying to play out the you're going to tell me. You know, and I'm going to keep laying it out there until you confess that you're screwing him.
Right.
You know?
But he says to her, it's like, look, I know you had to sleep with him. I know, but it's fine now. Your long nightmare is over. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to do that anymore.
Right.
I'm back. You know, we can spoon. You know,
we can
play some old timey records like the old days. Like, but she's like, no, I. But she can't bring herself to say she loves him. She said, I like him, right?
Yeah.
Which is, I guess, enough.
That was enough to make him puke.
Yeah,
he puked.
Yeah,
he had a really
puked.
Strange smirk. Before the puke.
It's the transformation smirk. I thought he was going
to... I thought he was Norman up.
But he can't Norma in front of Norma, so maybe he's just involuntarily. That's all he can do.
Maybe that's, like, maybe that's it, like, was happening. Spelling it.
It's like... He just sees Norma and he's like...
Is that like that's the what do you call it? Time travel, the paradox, right?
Yeah,
exactly. Two Normas.
Yeah,
he can't Norma while Norma's there.
Exactly.
And so he has to puke instead.
It's just that there's
two Normas cannot occupy the same space.
The
same
spelling of the possessed spirit.
Yeah. So that was he was trying to, like, you know, like, transformation was happening. He was giving this little. But anyway, that's how I read it.
So those are moments in the show where I just picture, like, what my mother's reaction would have been if I puked at the Christmas tree lot.
Yeah.
I'd be like, are you fucking kidding? Get in the car. Are you out of your mind?
Yeah. Not pleased with that.
Those are the moments where I just love to see the show just go that way for a hot minute. Just,
yeah.
What? Are you kidding?
So let's get to this this wonderful the dinner, which was the sort of centerpiece of this whole episode. I mean, I guess, am I missing anything with Alex and with Dilemma?
They do it.
They do it.
That's kind of important.
And we don't know if she makes it out alive.
Yeah, I'm like, as long as
last thing he says to her is, if you hurt yourself, I'll kill you.
Yeah.
Or if you get hurt, I'll kill you.
Well, right. It seems like she's, you know, that's kind of sexy the way they did it, the way they shot it. The mirrors and the two little beveled mirrors. And yeah, that's good stuff. There you go, kids.
I'm going to
give those lungs a workout.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what he said. That's what I would have said.
That's what you would have said.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And it would have went over fantastically.
Just would not have landed like a lead shoe. No.
Not at all.
No.
How she could a, like, lady resist?
Man. He's like, Raz, you have all the lines. And I'm like, come on, Emma.
Let's give them lines a workout.
I'll be your oxygen tank now. Anyway, I don't know.
Oh, that's no.
I don't know. You don't know? That's sexy.
No, he's just got pressurized air. He keeps...
Yeah.
Never mind, I'll tell you where.
No?
No.
I gotta work on my lines.
Just don't speak. Don't speak. Just stare. Stare.
Oh, God.
Anyway, so yeah, so that happened. They do it, and that seems great. And it looks like they're gonna get out of there, right?
It usually is.
Looks like
you think they're gonna get out of there?
They're getting out. You know, I love that last scene of them leaving the house before they go and, you know, do it. But I love that last scene because it looked like just a really nice young couple leaving after hanging out at mom's house.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for having us. Hope the tree works out next time. Sorry, Norman got sick. That sucks. But, you know, we got to take off tomorrow.
Yeah.
Thanks so much. See you guys soon. Okay. Normal people. Doing normal people shit.
And we all know, and you and I both know very well, like, what it's like to try to be the normal people in a crazy family.
We do.
You know? So it's like...
Wow, yeah. her head's still spinning. We're going to go.
Yeah. But, great party. Hey.
That looks like it's on fire. I'm pretty sure that's on fire.
Great party, family. I'm going to go. We're leaving.
We should put out the fire before we go.
Yeah.
We should put it out.
But yeah, that's...
You love the kids. I'll put out the fire.
but even Dylan even said it out loud. He's like, look, I just feel like I'm getting sucked into this black hole of Norma and Normandy's side, and this just feels normal to me, and I want to get out of here.
There you go.
So did he use the word normal, or am I making that up?
I don't know.
Okay, that's one of our buzzwords.
Normal.
Yeah.
No, I called them messed up.
Messed up.
Yeah, and that's never going to change.
Okay.
Ever.
Yeah.
All right. But he did say the black hole.
Yeah, he did mention the black hole.
Yeah, get the hell out, man. Go to Moscow.
Yeah.
Three sisters.
So good. Good. I hope Dilemma lives happily ever after.
And wouldn't that be nice? There. We can just have, there'd be one good thing that comes of it.
Yeah. And then, you know, maybe they'll reunite with Caleb. They have some nice, you know, Caleb, and they're going off somewhere and they're never seen from again, you know.
That'd be nice.
In the universe. I hope that happens.
Happen.
So we have the dinner.
No, that's not going to happen.
No one here gets out alive.
And this is it seems to be a sort of a reoccurring...
Wait, before we do the dinner, did we touch on Rebecca?
No, Rebecca.
Yeah.
Rebecca's going to sing.
Well, she was awful smirky, like, oh, thanks, Romero. I'm out of here. I'm going to Indiana. You know, I'm going to see my mom and wherever it was. Indiana? Mm-hmm.
Indiana.
Yeah.
I think Indiana.
Yep,
I don't know. Indianapolis. Indiana.
So, and she's like, and Romero's like, you sure? The DEA? She's like, yo, I got to go. My mom's sick. Peace. And which I was confused because, so she did have the money, the $3 million that was in the safe deposit box. Mm-hmm. She took that shit, right?
But I'm getting, maybe
what
she
money,
sent
what bag of money does Romero have, though?
Romero has his getaway money from
the
boat.
Paris's.
Oh, that was his go box.
That was his go box.
The go bag,
yeah.
So, okay, got it. So he's got
he has plenty.
Okay, so that's why, so she's got the $3
million. Mm-hmm.
And he's got whatever
he's got
he had
Bob
to run
Harris's
with.
Money.
Right.
He had the running cash.
And, unbeknownst to Romero, of course, the DEA is not really after Rebecca. They're really after Romero, you know. And the DEA wouldn't be wrong, when she said there's someone who's been looking the other way and been running this town and da-da-da-da, I mean, you know, Romero's that guy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like they're making stuff up about him. So this is why it really concerns me, because there is enough evidence back there to, like, you know.
Try to say good.
Yeah, and so... And Rebecca is, again, you know, hell hath no fury, like a woman,
like a redhead scorned,
like a redhead scorned.
Really, if you're gonna score one,
and
don't score a redhead,
scorned ass redhead,
or a Cuban, Cubanas are
Cubanas are crazy, or a Sicilian,
or a Sicilian, because the Italians are crazier than shit too.
Or
don't scorn anybody,
or a sister, or a black woman.
Yeah, like, you know what?
Just don't scorn anyone. It's no women being scorned.
I think between the two of us, we've run the gamut.
No, yeah,
just don't do it.
No, that's it. Anyway, so no offense to you.
Hey, I was the one who said it. Don't fuck with a redhead.
That's true.
Very clearly from Julia Keerly.
Half black, half Cuban, redheaded Sicilian.
Fucking run!
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 Anyway,
don't even talk to her.
So yeah, so that's she's definitely. I would imagine she's not going to jail, and she knows enough.
She's gonna sing like a bird.
Where's the $3 million though? It didn't seem to me like. Don't you think if they caught if she had $3 million on her, wouldn't they be like, $3 million on the table? Want to talk about it?
I don't think she had it on her.
That's what I'm saying. So where did she put it?
She's a smart lady. I'm pretty sure she put it in like an offshore account somewhere.
Well, it's cash. You can't just like, hey, I'm just going to offshore a bunch of cash.
I feel like Rebecca is... I mean, if like Romero, and we got to get here soon, I feel like Romero is smart enough to not... Because the move is to wire Rebecca and her to go back and be like, I'm back in town. And so tell me about how you killed Bob Harris. Wow, that was crazy. You're running that drug town the whole time. He's not going to say anything. Like, he's too smart for that.
No.
So I'm not really worried about that the whole time. So we'll see. Anyway...
Meanwhile, he's off being a magical calming unicorn.
Okay. Yes. Oh, the unicorn line. Yeah, they're just giggling it up, man.
I love him so much.
Yeah, he was so like, what
I
say?
I love him.
He's so charming.
I think I love him.
And Norma's like,
how was she? Watching Joe Braswell toss his hair like that was just the most.
So I think
it's so long.
So we have to get to these thoughts. So the dinner it seems to be like a set piece, a running set piece within
the
universe is this sort of dinner
last
setup,
supper.
You know, the Last Supper thing. And we saw another one, and it was very well written and very well acted, and I feel like we got it all came out. Like Norman, you know, very much spilled his guts and said his piece, you know, in a very well acted, well written scene. So I don't know. I mean, I have nothing more to say. Do you have anything specific that he said in your little notesies?
I have it all. Okay. I have everything that
give me something.
I got it all. Of course I do. Well, first of all, he starts with people check in and people check out.
Yeah.
You know, that was very to the point, and that was quite menacing and threatening.
Right? Yeah.
And I'm glad that Norma called him out on it immediately too. Because she could have like tried to just brush that one under the rug as some sort of innocuous comment.
Right.
But she knew what he was what he was implying.
Sure.
That was good.
And there was a bit where Romero says he has a joke and Norma just like uncontrollably laughs.
Oh yeah,
she's so in love.
Oh, that pissed him. I pissed him off so
what
much.
What was the joke?
Oh, because he was asking about if you know. It's really simple. If there's a sinking ship and there's a raft that fits two with provisions for two, who are you going to pick?
Right.
Him or me? Him or me?
Yes.
To which Romero just says, "Well, maybe Norman. Just you and I will get on the boat and leave her on the ship."
Oh,
toss your hair. Toss your hair.
Oh, Romero.
Toss it.
You're so silly. Anyway, Norman, that's silly. Isn't he silly, Norman? Norman's like,
don't you like him, Norman? Don't you like him? Look, he makes jokes.
Norman's like, knife or axe. I got you, Zach. We're rolling. All right. So anyway, that happens. So he storms out. He says a speech.
But he also calls her a hypocrite and said, my whole life, I gave up everything.
Not wrong.
To be with
not
you.
Wrong.
Not wrong.
Not wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
He had what was her name? Blondie. I can't remember her name.
Bradley. And then he had the hardcore chick, the mouthy chick.
Yeah, man.
And she did not approve of any of them.
So yeah, he's not wrong. So
but he also said, "I gave it all up gladly for you."
Oh yeah,
for you. And that he understands that this is our world, and the cord between us is like our relationship, the love we have. That's real love.
Yeah, and she's like, "Yeah, but you know, he's girly, good in bed."
Yeah. You seeing his eyebrows? Like, awesome.
Yeah, he's got these eyes.
And it's his thing. Really with the, looks like there's makeup, but they're not.
All right, so they move outside, and we have the conversation we already spoke about with, you know, Alex goes out to talk to the Norman, and the conversation continues, and Alex sort of sees a little bit how dangerous Norman is, and this is a reoccurring theme, a danger to himself and others. Like, he definitely, in that moment, was a danger to himself and possibly others, and once Romero got a look at that, looks at the way he's playing that, so once he got a look at that, he's like, I'm not leaving here.
Mm-mm.
Like, I'm not leaving here at all. Like, this is not...
I'm getting my stuff tomorrow.
I'm moving back in, getting my stuff.
I'm not
leaving. I don't know what's going on with this kid, but you're not staying home with him wheeling that axe around. That's yeah. Like, and I know what I know. And lastly, we got to touch on this in our last couple minutes is, you know, we did see the origin of the peephole. And, mm-hmm. you know, Norman saw him roll up and couldn't help himself, had to go check it out and see what was going on. And he had to watch the whole thing. Now, the question for you, which is an uncomfortable question for both of you, but I'll ask it,
yeah.
is, was Norman aroused? Is he like, and like, why does he want to see his mom
Can
have
I tell
sex?
You how incredibly grateful I was that the whole last shot was just his eyeball and yeah. nothing else? And he teared up. I don't know if you guys noticed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tear in the eyeball.
Right.
But we didn't see anything that was going on below his neck, and I will forever be grateful.
Well, there is, you know, back in Psycho, you know, there's that scene that in the 1960 version. Okay, hard out right now. The old version of Psycho, he looks at the people, and nothing happens. In the 1998 version, Vince Vaughn played a little differently. He did do a little something down there, which is a mm-hmm. little, you know, gross. So I wonder, like, if that was what he was doing. Who knows? We got to wrap.
Yeah, I want to talk about it all day.
We got to get out of here. I'm sorry. We don't have time for predictions. Or do we have time for predictions? We don't have time for predictions.
No,
we
got 15 seconds.
I'm sorry, guys, but we got to get out of here, and we will talk more about this next week. We will go maybe a little longer, as opposed to a little shorter.
Two episodes left.
The shit's about to hit the fan. Joe Flippo, maybe a 5-second prediction, and tell people where you can find you.
I think there will be murders, and they can find me at Joe Flippo, JoeFlippo.
All right,
Julia. On the Twitters.
Many murders. Yes, I concur. Twitter, Instagram. My name Julia Carely, JuliaCarely. Follow me.
At Joe K. Braswell on Twitter and Instagram, and JK Braz on
Snapchat.
Yeah, check it out. I think Chip and Caleb are coming back, and it's gonna be a big goofy mess of junk.
All right.
Thank you all, you guys, for joining us in the chat room, and thank you for everything else. We will see you next week. Love you. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.